Good morning. The scripture this morning is from the Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8. I'll be reading from the New International Version. I opened for my lover, but my lover had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called for him, but he did not answer. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. They beat me. They bruised me. They took away my cloak, those watchmen of the walls. O daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my lover, what will you tell him? Tell him I am faint with love. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. We are picking back up again in our For Mature Audiences Only series as we are taking a look at the biblical book, The Song of Solomon. Now, we started off a few weeks ago. We had two lessons on this, and we took a break last week. But in that first lesson, we talked about courtship of a young couple in this book. We used a video based on a column written by Stephen Crowder about doing marriage the right way. And in that, we used a phrase that he used in his column where he says, I know everyone thinks they married the most beautiful woman in the world. They're wrong. I win. And I made the comment, no, he's wrong. I win. And it was wonderful as people would file out and shook my hand on those services. They said, no, you're wrong, I win. And I just want to say, I think it's great that we can celebrate marriage here at Mount Horeb. I think it's wonderful. We've got good, healthy marriages. I would love for everyone to look at their spouse and then look at everybody else and say, no, I'm the winner. And it's especially important to lift and celebrate those up because today we're dealing with a different topic called struggling in love. And it's based on the reality no matter how good the relationship, no matter how wonderful the marriage, the bottom line is there's always some times that don't go off perfectly. I mean, even in the best marriage, you can come home with groceries in one hand, flowers in the other, and then this happens.
Ciao, amore.
Me ne vado.
Di nuovo.
Sì, di nuovo. Vado a cercare qualcuno in grado di amare qualcun altro oltre se stesso.
E vai da tua madre. È l'unica pazza che ti sopporta.
È finita.
Era ora.
Addio.
Finalmente.
Ma scusami.
Amore mio.
Häagen-Dazs gelato, inspired by Italy and made like no other.
I've been stocking up on a lot of gelato at my house these past few weeks. Obviously, things don't always go right, and I guess you can either buy a lot of gelato or you can decide to do marriage God's way. Now, what I love about Scripture is real. People presented in Scripture, well, we don't always whitewash some of their less than perfect moments. And we believe that Song of Solomon is a book that was given to us by God to show us the relationship between a husband and wife, between a man and a woman in their romantic relationship. And it begins with courtship, it moves to marriage. But by the time we get to chapter 5, God is showing us that even in a healthy relationship, there sometimes is conflict and there's tension. In chapter 5, this is the setting. The husband goes to the wife's bedchamber and he knocks on the door and she doesn't answer. And he begins to feel rejected. He doesn't feel like he's a priority anymore. And so he leaves. And by the time she finally gets up and answers the door, she opens and she says, "My lover is gone. He has left." And so now she begins to search the city looking for him. Can we see the tensions there? The feelings of, I'm not a priority. I've been rejected. Miscommunication. Misunderstanding. And we know this happens in even the strongest of marriages. Now, we know that marriage as an institution is, in a way, under attack in this country. Marriage is certainly not what it used to be in this country. The concept of marriage is not what it used to be in this country. And I personally think that's because the concept of God is not what it used to be in this country. And I think the two are linked. Our concept of God relates to our concept of marriage. And people just don't have the same godly attitude towards marriage that they used to have. In week two of this series, Pastor Jeff got up and he talked about marriage, and he talked about the bonding steps that happen in a couple's relationship as they move from attraction to attachment to attunement. And he shared with the congregation 9 of those bonding steps. And he says, I'm not going to share the last 3. But he told us the last 3 are intended for the marriage relationship. And I'm sure there were some people out there that said, well, that's just so old-fashioned. That's not the way it's done anymore. Nobody waits till marriage for those steps. Everybody's doing it. Nobody wants that type of commitment. Everybody just wants to have fun. Hear me. If you want what everybody wants, then do what everybody does, and you're going to get what everybody's got. If you want what God wants, do what God tells you to do, and you're going to get what only God can give. What has everybody else out there got? Well, let's look at some statistics in marriage. And I know you can find these all over the place, but the statistics I'm going to use today come from Professor William Daugherty from the University of Minnesota, as he did a pretty extensive, long study on married couples. 47% of couples report that at some time in their relationship, their marriage was in trouble. 13% of the couples he surveyed said, we are on the verge of divorce, and they said that happened recently. Recently, their marriage was on the verge of divorce. So while we've got good, healthy marriages out there, we know there's a lot of marriages out there that struggle, a lot of them that are under attack. And so let's take a look at what everybody's got, and maybe we want to decide we want something better. We want what only God can give. And in His Scripture, God has set up for us an ideal. The way that a relationship should be between a husband and a wife should be. The problem is, we don't often look at that passage. Because that passage describes for us what I call the sacrificial heart. And the passage is Ephesians chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 21, it starts off pretty clear. He's talking to husbands and wives, talking about sacrifice. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, we're good, right? The next verse is where we have problems. Because the very next verse says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, if you're in a small group discussing this passage, it gets real quiet. The women don't say anything, and the men are scared to say anything. This has been one of the most misused and abused passages, because they don't go on and read the rest of what the Apostle Paul writes to the letter in his letter to the Ephesians, when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What's the attitude here? One of sacrifice, of mutual giving to each other. Intimacy, when we talk about that, and everybody wants more intimacy in their relationship. For the men, that usually means physical. For the women, that usually means emotional. But the reality is, intimacy comes when you give yourself completely to another person. Now, I was going to do a whole exposition getting into the Greek and everything on this passage, but then I realized this past summer I did a wedding where we used this passage. And in that wedding, I always ask couples, is there any scripture passage you would like for us to use in the wedding? And this couple actually emailed me what they wanted to use. And ironically, this passage was used and the suggestion came from the bride. And when she wrote why she chose this passage, I realized her explanation is better than any exposition I can do on this passage. She said this as she sent this passage for me to use. She said, I know that some can take this passage the wrong way, but I think it's beautiful. And I have been looking for someone I could trust enough to be submissive to, because not being in control is hard for me, as if I ever really was in control at all. The Lord has put a love in my husband's heart for me, where if he is reaching out to the Lord, he will become an amazing leader, and I can't wait to see what God does in our lives as we learn to trust him more and learn this fine balance of respect and love. Then that ceremony, I read that, and I looked at the groom, and I said, man, you are one lucky dude. Right? It's the first time I've ever used dude in a wedding ceremony, too, by the way. How fortunate that couple is as they start their lives together to get what God's ideal is. Mutual submission, mutual sacrifice for one another. That's God's ideal. But unfortunately, we fall short so many times of God's ideal for us. And that's really because of what I call the self-oriented heart. Notice I didn't say selfish heart, but self-oriented, meaning we all have our own wills, right? And we exert those wills from time to time. And sometimes when we are in a relationship with another person who also exerts their will, we have some tension. We have some conflict, some disagreement there. Now, when that self-oriented heart begins to cause tension in your relationship, then here are some things you need to put into place. The first thing you need to do is you need to fight fair. Now, what we mean by fight fair is you're looking for a win-win solution, not an I-win solution. You're going to use I feel statements versus you always do this statements. See the difference between saying, I feel neglected when you go off with your friends and do this, rather than you always go off with your friends and neglect me. One accuses, the other just talks about how you feel. Don't bring your friends in to the tension. In other words, you're going to get a bunch of friends and they're going to group up on your spouse. Don't involve your children in the dispute. And please, please, please do not post it on social media for the entire world to see. We got to learn to fight fair and look for those win-win solutions. If voices and tensions begin to rise, it may be wise at times to retreat and regroup. This means we're so emotionally charged right now, we're probably going to say some things we shouldn't say. So let's just step back from this. But when you do this, make it a point to schedule a time to readdress the issue. It doesn't do any good just to push the issue aside, because then it never gets solved, never gets dealt with. But say, you know what, maybe we need to cool down. Let's talk about this later this evening, or let's talk about this tomorrow. But it's okay to retreat and regroup. And also remember your wedding vows. When you married for better or for worse. Meaning, when you took your wedding vows, you anticipated there were going to be times that were difficult. And yet, you made that commitment in front of family and friends and God and your spouse. You said, I'm going to love you even when the going gets tough. And so you anticipated that. So remember, the same love that made you commit to that person then is the same love that can get you through the disagreement, through the tension and conflict, and to the other side. If we don't deal with the self-oriented heart, unfortunately, things can get worse. And we get what we call the hardened heart. In the hardened heart, I will use the term selfish to describe what's going on. That's where you get to the point of, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I really don't care what the other person wants to do or care about their feelings. It's all about me. The hardened heart is when a marriage relationship is in danger. And my first piece of advice is, if you even sense you're getting there, get help immediately. If you were in an accident and you had a huge gash on your arm, the first thing you would do is go to the hospital or the doctor and you'd have it cleaned up and bandaged. Why? Because you don't want it to get infected. You don't want to lose the arm. If you even sense your relationship is in trouble, get help from a trained professional. Now, you can call the church. Beth Bryan here at our church has said, call her. She'll meet with you and she will help you find an appropriate Christian counselor to help put your marriage on the right track. And if you are saying, we don't have the money to do that, I would say, find it. You can find the money to do that if it's important, if it's a priority. We have had lots of couples in our church, I know, that have had their marriages really close to breaking up. And they invested not just the money, but the effort and the energy in getting some counseling. And they have wonderful marriages today. They invested in their marriage. And let me tell you something. I know for some of them money was tight, but it was a lot cheaper to go to counseling than it was to watch their marriage fall apart. Get help immediately. The second thing you need to realize is when your heart's beginning to get hard, at least acknowledge your responsibility. Take responsibility for your part in the relationship. Because one of the things when our hearts are hard is we don't always realize that we're part of the issues here. There's a story of a guy who went to his doctor for his annual checkup, and as they were going through all the checkup stuff, he says, well, how are you doing? He says, you know, doctor, I think I'm doing pretty good, but he says, I think my wife is losing her hearing. He says, oh, really? He says, yeah, well, I ask her questions all the time, and she just ignores me. She never responds. I don't think she's hearing what I have to say. He says, well, how bad is she losing her hearing? He says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, how close do you have to be before she finally hears you? He says, I'm not really sure. He says, well, I'll tell you what, when you're home sometime and you ask her a question and she doesn't respond, well, just keep moving a little closer, keeping the same tone of voice, and find out how close you have to be before she hears you. So the guy goes home. He walks in the door, and there's his wife cooking dinner. Her back's to him. He says, this is the perfect time to try this. So he stands at the door. He says, what's for dinner? No response. So he takes 10 steps closer to her, and he says, what's for dinner? No response. 10 steps closer. What's for dinner? No response. He finally walks about 3 feet behind her. He says, what's for dinner? She turns around and says, I've already told you 3 times. The answer is spaghetti. Isn't it amazing how it's always the other person that has the problem? We always project it on them and realize that even if, well, my spouse did this, 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 and this. You could be telling the absolute truth, but still there's another side of the relationship. And what have you done or not done, or what has your attitude been? Take your responsibility in the relationship. And in doing that, you need to remember the statistics. So many marriages that are on the verge of blowing up, people have what we call in logic a false choice. They think, well, I've only got 2 choices. Either I get rid of this person and find a new person to make me happy, or I stay with this person for the sake of the marriage and I'm unhappy. And they think those are the only 2 choices, and that is a false choice because there's another option, and the statistics bear this out. In that study by William Doherty, he analyzed those people who said, our marriage is in trouble, and he followed them for 5 years. And this is what he found. 5 years later, for those marriages that stuck together, 94% said they were happy and glad that their marriage held together. When he looked at the worst cases, in other words, the marriages that were ready to divorce, 5 years later, those that stayed together, 75% said they were happy that the marriage was together. The statistics show that you don't have one of those two false choices. There's an option out there, and when people choose it and work at it, that it can bring you happiness. Because when you've been through the tough times, you can come out good and stronger on the other side. Now, what were some of the things that these couples did? Probably the first most important thing he noted, they made their relationship a priority over other family, over their children, over their work, over their hobbies, their interest. Their relationship became their number one priority. They also attended religious worship services together. They took responsibility, and most of them sought professional counseling. Remember those statistics, because those statistics show that marriage relationships are worth fighting for. But we also know that not all relationships make it. Whether it's a marriage relationship or whether it's a dating relationship that got real serious, was moving towards marriage and ended. And when that happens, we know that it leaves a lot of people with a wounded heart. And our hearts are scarred. And if you have been through that, you know that pain. If you're going through that now, you may even feel, I am so hurt, I am so wounded, there is no way I'm ever going to pick up the pieces of my life and put them back together again. And you're right. You can't. But God can. Because God is in the redeeming and redemption business. Maybe it's your own sin that's blown up a relationship or two. Bottom line is, you can't make yourself holy, but God can make you holy. Jesus can. He's in the forgiveness business. Maybe you've come out of a relationship as a victim of abuse, emotional or physical abuse, and your feelings of self-worth are low, and you don't know that your heart can ever be whole again. Well, Jesus is an incredible heart doctor. And if you lay your heart before him, he can begin to start putting the pieces back together. You don't have to do that on your own. God is there to help you understand and realize that and work with you through the process. Because here's the most important truth. God doesn't want your past to dictate your future. What you have done doesn't make you necessarily what you can become. Because God, throughout Scripture, takes people and uses people we think would, well, they're way past using. King David, adultery, murder, covered it up, and yet God redeemed and used him. The Apostle Paul drugged Christians out into the streets, had them arrested and beaten. He actually held the cloak as they stoned the martyr Stephen to death, and God used him. And one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament comes from the book of Jonah. Jonah, as you know, was a prophet who was called by God, and then he ran away from God, and he ended up being thrown over a boat and into the ocean, and a fish swallowed him up. He spit up on land, and then the text says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God didn't give up on him, and God doesn't give up on us or our relationships as well. But this we know is true. Relationships are always going to be experiencing conflict and tension, and in some cases, even attack. And we need strong, healthy relationships. In the scripture passage from the Song of Solomon that we read earlier, when the woman opens the door and she finds that her lover is gone, she begins to go look for him. And she wanders the streets of Jerusalem and she encounters some watchmen and she uses these terms, "They beat me, they bruised me." Very vivid terms. But what those terms teach us is when there is conflict between two people in a marriage relationship, that is when we're most vulnerable to attack. We've got to watch out. So what's the answer to that? We need to have strong, healthy marriage relationships so we're not vulnerable to those attacks. And therefore, we're going to challenge you as a church this weekend to work on your relationship with your spouse. By doing that, we're going to make this Friday, November 21st, official date night for the people of Mount Horeb, okay? Now, we periodically, I think about once a month, we do date nights for young couples, and it's a place where they can come and they can drop their children off at the church for a few hours, and we have people here to watch their kids, and there's some charge, I don't even know what it is, I think it's like $10 or $12, $15, I don't know, something like that, to watch your children. Well, to encourage and entice you to make this Friday a date night, date night's on us this month, okay? So if you need childcare, it's absolutely free this week. What we need you to do, however, is on our website, you're going to see a link that looks like that. We need you to sign up and register. If we have a ton of people do this, we may be limited by some room space, but we're going to try to get as many volunteers as we possibly can, use as many rooms as we possibly can, because we want you to go out on a date with your spouse this week. So date night is free for this month, okay? So that's going to be one way we're enticing you. If you're saying, however, Pastor Brian, it's still not in the budget, we can't afford even to go out if we have free childcare, if you will also click on that link, there will be a place where you can sign up, and I will have between 5 and 6 o'clock on Friday evening at our welcome desk, someone will be there with a $20 Chamber of Commerce gift certificate with your name on it. Now, I know that won't buy a very expensive meal, but it can buy you an inexpensive meal for you to go to a restaurant without your kids and focus on your relationship, because we want to invest in your marriages, okay? And we don't want you talking about work or the kids, we want you talking about each other. So in your bulletin, you can see there are 5 questions there that you can talk about over dinner on Friday night, because we think this can just be a great week for couples and families here in our church. What I want to happen is I want you all to have a date night, and if you can't do it Friday, have a date night this week, and next Sunday when we walk in, I want you to look at your spouse, I want you to look at everybody else, and I want you to say, "You're wrong, I win." Amen. Jack is going to come and lead us in our closing hymn, and it is a song about the marriage relationship. It's a familiar tune. We sang this a couple of weeks ago, but it talks about the marriage relationship. If you're married, sing along. If you're single, sing along for those couples who are married. You want to support them in their relationships as well. Let us stand and let us sing.